Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Shine your shoes and pay your dues, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble. My name's Marcus and Jimmy's here.
Hello.
Lukey's here.
All right.
And King Pete's here.
All right.
Good to see you guys. None of that, Luke.
Sorry.
Put those things away
nothing.
When you're in the studio.
I wasn't doing nothing.
He was in the studio for 10 seconds and he already had his shoes off.
No way.
He put his finger through his zip.
You said make yourself at home, Pete. So I just took it quite literally.
Stinky feet.
And I've moved myself in.
Well, thank goodness that last thing happened. Steve McLaren was used by Newcastle, but he was also seen using an old school phone on the weekend. Mm. Or did he use it?
The
he
way
went
you said that was
it.
Like his old school phone.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you meant an old school phone, didn't
Well, it
you?
Could have been.
Yeah.
It could have
I haven't even seen it, so I couldn't tell you.
Well, what outdated piece of machinery would you like to see a manager use, Jim?
Well, we all know that Brendan Rodgers considers himself to be like a real man motivator. He's all about how he's you know, his players are feeling.
Okay,
a bull worker.
Yeah.
He's a bull worker.
Very much so. And
I would like to see him with like a squad of Tamagotchis. what he would do, he would assign a Tamagotchi to each player.
Mm. Look at this, I'm keeping them all alive.
Yeah, and he would treat each Tamagotchi in the same way he treated that player when he got home at night. And then he'd use the Tamagotchis to see how the player was feeling. It's a flawed system.
So he's picking the team based on Tamagotchi.
Yeah, or just, you know, he's judging his own management based on it.
I imagine he might already be doing that.
And he'd have like a jiffy bag with another Tamagotchi in it and say there's a Tamagotchi in this
spare one. Yeah, I mean,
there's a spare Tamagotchi in this envelope. Like
Raheem Sterling Tamagotchi die because it's not his problem anymore.
Just let the screen fill up with poo.
Yeah, exactly. Effectively, yeah, digital poo.
Oh, but
yeah,
I only just remember Tamagotchi, so anyone younger than us ain't gonna remember.
Yeah, a Tamagotchi was basically like an electronic pet that you kept on a key ring and you had
ridiculous.
To keep it alive. Yeah, and if they died, they were dead, weren't they? They broke. Yeah. Is that right?
I think you might have been able to reset them with a pen.
Yeah, right. Okay.
Yeah. Surgical.
It's just not real life. You just reset it with a pen.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, he thinks outside the box, doesn't he? So that's what I'd like to see.
Yeah.
And in fact, I know for a fact that that's true. And I say that because if we get sued for libel for that, then that's probably the best publicity we could ever have.
Yeah.
So that's definitely a real thing he does.
Other electronical pets aren't available. I don't know.
Electronical.
Electronical. Yeah. Wow.
Grandad.
Old father time over there.
This question was made for you, isn't it?
Yes, indeed it was. Luke.
Well, if you think Jim's answer was outdated, you come see me. Because I'd quite like to see Dick Advocaat use the boomerang phone from Crocodile Dundee.
Nice.
I don't remember the crocodile phone from Crocodile Dundee.
No, it's like a bush telephone thing. He went up, at one point he gets the woman. I can't remember who plays the woman. I can't remember her name.
Was it the woman who he married?
Yeah, the blonde
girl. Left his wife immediately.
I'm not sure what, in real life you mean? Mm. I'm not sure.
I believe that.
But in one of the scenes in the film Crocodile Dundee, which I think came out in about 1986,
it would have been a horrible plot development if he'd like left his wife for someone
for a crocodile.
Yeah, and he goes into, they're going to the bush and she is picking berries and he goes, I'll be up there on the ridge. And he gets up on the ridge and he gets this piece of like wood on the string and just goes and swings it round.
Right.
It'd be absolutely amazing if when Dick Advocaat wanted to make like a substitution, he just pulled that out. Just
I don't think that was ever in date though.
What do you mean?
An outdated
probably
piece of machinery.
Thousand years ago.
It's more a fictional piece of technology.
The Aborigines used that 1,000 years ago.
The Aborigines used boomerang telephones.
It was literally, it's a bush telephone. It was literally a piece of equipment they used 1,000 years ago. It's the definition of an outdated
piece
of
machinery.
Well, fair enough.
What's
that's,
it used
that's
for? What, you just make
communication.
Little...
Just say, here I am. Come
here
over.
Here I am, guys.
Yeah,
okay,
like
right.
A smoke signal type thing.
Oh, yeah. Did you used to have one of those pipes when you were a kid? You used to swing around to make the same noise. Ooh.
That might
cool.
just be a northeastern.
No, they were cool. I remember those.
Defend your home.
It was to ward off paedophiles.
Still work for you. No. The faster you swing it, the more high pitched it got, right?
Yeah.
I remember those, yeah.
Peter.
Yeah, that noise.
There it is again. Go on, what are you going to get?
I'd have Eddie Howe using a loom.
A loom? Yeah, to make the kits?
Yeah, to make the kits, because obviously Bournemouth started the season without any replica kits for the kids to have.
Oh.
And the populace to enjoy.
Get
so,
your loom out, Eddie.
Get your loom out, Eddie.
Yeah.
Eddie.
Get stuck in.
Oh, get your loom out.
Got to do everything around
Eddie.
Here, Eddie.
Not only are you getting them kids to wear the shirts of the football team they like, you are preserving an ancient practice.
Yes. And
for the next generation.
Very heavy woolen knit replica kit.
Don't wear them in the summer.
Woolen knit replica kits.
Yeah.
With Eddie Howe.
With Eddie Howe.
With Eddie Howe, did I do that? Yeah. With a loom.
A loom.
I'd like to see Louis Van Gaal at the end of the season. Louis Van Gaal, as Luke said, he's fast becoming our favourite man in football.
Mm.
And I'd like to see him at the end of the season if Manchester United have not done anything and they go, but this was your team, Lou, and he comes out in the press conference and goes mental with a blunderbuss.
Just takes all the journalists out.
Or a punt gun. You know those guns that could kill like 1,000 birds at the same time. They mounted on punts.
You just see, you're down at the training grounds at Carrington. The Man United players are just running for their lives. Sky Sports News are going, what's going? And Van Gaal appears like that guy in Jumanji with a blunderbuss.
I mean, the punt gun as well, would just be there at the press conference. Like just set up, ready. And everyone would be going, oh, I wonder what that's about. He would be brazen, he wouldn't hide it.
Can I refine it slightly and perhaps suggest a Bugsy Malone-esque Tommy gun?
Mashed
potato. And him going...
It wasn't mashed potato, it was splurge.
Keep the change, you filthy animal.
Yeah. You might have just won me the points there.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
You are welcome.
Are you going to win every round of points this season?
Yeah, I'm not having this.
If I'm the best. No, Pete's got the point.
I cannot believe Dick Avocar playing Crocodile Dundee's Bush Telephone does not win the point.
Because it's not a piece of machinery.
I'm going to stop trying.
You were trying.
Sort of.
Why don't you start trying?
Yeah.
That's the issue here.
I'll think about it.
Okay. Which is more than you normally do.
Hi, I'm Ryan Giggs, and you're listening to the Football Ramble.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Now let's go to the Premier League, eh? Mm. The Premier League!
Wow.
The EPL, as people outside of Europe call it.
I annoyed myself just because I'm getting really excited about it. I was like, oh, look, you're so predictable. Every year you get excited about the Premier League. You try and be cynical, and as soon as it starts, you're like, yes!
You need to stop having one-to-ones in the mirror.
I do.
It's not healthy.
No, I don't. That's all I've got.
Oh, that's not true. Mm. That is not true. What is points at home with Swansea? A great game!
Yeah.
A brilliant game at the Bridge. And it was nice to see that Mourinho pulled out a ridiculous.
But it's great. It's great.
And even more ridiculous. Like, he's having a go at his own medical staff.
And we're talking about it first rather than talking about his team's ineptitude.
Dr. Eva.
On the pitch.
Yeah, I think everyone feels aggrieved for Dr. Eva.
Yeah, I think
we all do. But the game, though, itself. I mean, Chelsea, they didn't look off the pace, say, like Arsenal did, but we'll come to them. But if you look at the goals, though, I mean, Oscar with a shot come cross, and then Willian with a deflected one of Fernandes.
I bet, Marcus, you were loving Big John's running things.
Do you know what, right? Gary Monk has said that Shelby's going to play his way into the England squad.
Yeah. He's been in the squad or two, hasn't he?
I think he's only got one cap, okay, and that was about 3 years ago.
Because he sort of went off the boil last season, didn't he?
And then Monk had a go at him.
He really sorted it out.
Mm.
He got a chef in.
He has, yeah. We said this in the Dublin show, didn't he? He's got he advertised for a living chef.
He's got
for $65,000 a year.
He's got the lot, Shelby.
Yeah.
He's got everything in his locker. Mm. He can do it all. And when you're doing it on the first day of the season,
what a ball over
probably,
to Gomez.
Yeah, when you're probably blowing a bit at Stamford Bridge, the home of the champions, you're playing like that. He was the best midfielder in the game.
Do you know what I love about Shelby? Disrespect for the opposition.
Yeah, no, it's true.
We're ultimately seen against Alex Ferguson.
One of the greatest Premier League. That is one of the most underrated Premier League moments ever. When he got sent off for Liverpool against United, as he walked off, he was going to Ferguson. That's your fucking fault, that is. That's your fault.
He doesn't care.
It's class.
He's fearless like that.
The great thing about Swansea as well is, you know, they have a reputation as playing this really silky football, which is completely deserved. But also, they work really hard all over the pitch for each other, and they press really, really well. Yeah. And it's a great combination. And Mourinho, after the game, when he was, you know, when he finished slagging off his own medical staff, said that something like, you know, Swansea didn't have a chance while there were 11 players on the pitch. It's like, yeah, but Gary Monk doesn't have an unlimited budget. No. He can't just basically do whatever he wants all the time.
And it's no one's fault that Courtois got sent off
other than Courtois. He's one of your players. His actions count as something your team did.
But the whole medical staff thing, when he said, well, we were down to 9 men at one point. Well, yeah, but it's not for 20 minutes.
No.
Yeah. Mm. I mean, Courtois getting sent off, he almost didn't even make the starting lineup because he was injured in
he had to go off in the warm-up because he pulled a muscle or something. Mm. Yeah, but he managed to come through.
Well, he's got a bit of time out now.
But yeah, he's got to get a one-game ban. That was an interesting decision because, although I just said it's Courtois' fault, it is Courtois' fault for making that choice to come out there. It's a bit debatable whether that was a goal-scoring, an obvious goal-scoring opportunity.
Yeah, there was a lot to do from there.
It's one of those, I think that was one of those things where a penalty was probably a good enough punishment.
Mm. Yeah.
Probably a yellow.
Well, it was given.
Yeah.
It was
I can see why it was given, but yeah, it was a different one.
Courtois got to accept that risk when he comes out like that.
Definitely.
But again, on weekends where, you know, it's all overshadowed by Mourinho having a pop at his own medical staff, I think you've got to still just sort of go, look, Swansea were magnificent at times.
He'll never do that. I wouldn't be surprised if Mourinho, before he came out and did the post-match press conference, I wouldn't have been surprised if he called the medical team in and went, by the way, I'm going to slag you off. Don't worry about it.
That's right.
This is why I'm doing it. And then everyone laps it up, including us.
Yeah.
But what do you think about Gomez's celebration?
Yeah, he does that, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Not a fan.
No, I'm not.
I enjoyed it. It's just weird.
It's quite camp. It's got a bit of camp about it, I think.
I'm not a fan. Mourinho said that Swansea didn't have chances against 11 men. Well, they did because they scored. And Ayew, what a debut he had.
Yeah, he was excellent.
And he's gone straight in there and looks the part. I don't know if it's only the first day. But Swansea going forward look like they've got some great options. I mean, when they sold Bonny... Everyone thought, oh dear me, what a price they got from him. And Gomez has gone in there, he's a great player. Yeah. And behind him, you've got Ayew. I mean, you've got Routledge on the bench. Dyer was on the bench as well. Sigurdsson's a fantastic player. Yeah.
I love that they brought him back as well. It's really canny move because, you know, so often players and teams are criticised when they reunite because it supposedly doesn't always work. But it's just slotted perfectly back in, and I love that.
The Super Swans, pound for pound, the best side in the Premier League.
There's never any talk of Gary Monk being given a look in. It's very premature at the moment, but potentially as England manager.
Because well,
I think people think he's Welsh.
You just don't want Pards, don't you?
No, I do want Pards.
All right.
It'd be funny. I think people think Gary Monk's Welsh.
It would be
Welsh.
Funny.
Yeah. It would.
It's better than what we normally get, which is not funny.
It would be at least funny.
Are you starting to even suggest that England aren't boring?
You know, Gary Monk is so dedicated to what he does. He has a microphone in his lapel, and he records all of his instructions on the training ground and listens back to them to make sure they're clear enough. I mean, how dedicated
is that?
I thought
you were going to say he listens back to them while touching himself.
Well, you know, that says more about you than it does about anyone else.
No, I don't think anybody else thought that.
Possible. He's a monk. Have some respect.
He's literally a monk.
Yeah. Put him for England, Shelby in there as well, 23-year-old.
Yeah, exactly.
Lovely old job.
Yeah.
Lovely old job.
Yeah.
I'd have them all in.
I'd have that.
I'd have them all in there, and the Euros will be ours. But of course... Top of the league is Leicester City.
Yeah. Yay.
Claudio Ranieri, who described his team as very good, very good, so good. I love that.
Ranieri's great.
He's brilliant. Yeah. It's good to have him back.
I mean, he's going to be out of a job by the end of the season. He's great.
Yeah, season?
Yeah, I think
you're
so.
Hopeful.
Yeah.
I think it might do all right.
Wasn't he spinning a bit of Kasabian in the dressing room for them as well?
No, I think when they come out on the pitch, they play a Kasabian track.
They fire, don't they?
Yes, right. And he was like, that should get you up for it. Mm. And maybe it did, maybe it didn't. But something got them up for it. Vardy broke the deadlock. A better story surrounding Vardy at the moment.
What a welcome to English football for Okazaki.
Yeah.
Isn't it just...
He didn't let it affect him. He played very well. Mm. I'll tell you, there was a much more distressing story than that. I'm not sure if you guys know this, but did you hear about Mark Albrighton's family?
Yeah. No.
His girlfriend's mother, and I think stepfather, were killed in that Tunisian terrorist attack in the summer.
Bloody hell.
Yeah, so that's why he was quite emotional when he scored.
Oh, dear.
But it was great to see him get a goal, but it was definitely a very emotional time for him. And so he's had, obviously, to say the least, a very tough summer.
Yeah. I mean, he's a good player.
I think so, yeah.
Mahrez had a lovely afternoon.
Another really good player. Just signed him up to a new contract. And he was a real difference maker for them at times.
I mean, Leicester have just picked up where they left off. I mean, since April, this is a lovely stat from BBC, since April, Leicester have won more points than any other Premier League side.
That's great, isn't it?
Sunderland have picked up where they left off.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Well, they haven't picked anything up.
I think Sunderland are at home to Norwich next week, and they're already earmarking that as a must-win. But the positives, I mean, I know Dick Abacar, but this Bush telephone said he had no positives to take from the game. He literally said that after the game, in which a game where they scored two goals. I'm taking no positives from this. Well, both his strikers scored. That's not the end of the world, is it?
That's true.
But Fletcher came on and got a goal, of course, and Defoe scored. So, I mean, they would fancy their chances against Norwich, but they were poor. I mean, they just make so many, like, defensive errors.
They're beyond errors, aren't they? They're blunders.
Yeah, they're blunders.
They don't switch off for like 5 minutes. They switch off for like a whole half and then go, right, we're 3-0 down now. Brilliant.
You can imagine Dick Abacar with his coaching staff having like a meeting going, well, we could change the formation to this or to this or to that, but they just keep fucking making mistakes. We can't just stop and make
and
a mistake.
We're already 3-0 down.
What formation have we got where they don't make any mistakes?
That is it, though. Right, we're 3-0 down now. Right, we love a comeback. Yeah. It's on.
That's it. Maybe they're starting their great escape early.
We lost 3-2. That's a result for us.
Yeah. Well, it was 4.
I know, but I'm saying if they're 3-0 down, they get 3-2, yeah.
No, we gave the fans something to cheer about.
Yeah.
Mm. What about old Bournemouth, eh?
Yeah.
Oh.
I thought they were unlucky.
Shame. Very big shame. I mean,
that ground is superb, isn't it? The atmosphere there is absolutely
just over 11,500. Mm. Yeah, Bournemouth, they're very unlucky on their first day in the Premier League. Sherwood ruined the party.
He did.
Mm,
he
probably not the only one that weekend.
First time.
It's like he not only ruined the party, he basically turned up to the party, stopped that party, and started his own party in their house.
He wouldn't be a good guest.
No.
He's a go-getter, the guitar guest, isn't he? Someone say play the guitar? No one said that.
I think he'd steal a couple of CDs. Yeah. I think he would. I think he'd shove them under his jacket and walk out of them.
Seems like the type of guy who'd ruin a wedding.
Pete, you enjoyed that Aston Villa fan who fell out of the stands.
Oh, that was really good, yeah.
Like rolling around on the floor like a little slug.
It looked like a really painful fall.
That's how small the ground is, that you can legitimately fall onto the pitch.
Was that a pitch invasion?
No. Not an intentional one.
Unintentional?
Yeah.
You can't ban me for that.
didn't the part of the stand collapse in, not the stand, but like the advertising hoarding collapse at Millwall this weekend?
Didn't see that.
Loads of people falling at the front of the pitch.
Oh, God.
It was a right mess. And the best thing was, the steward tried to just pick up the bit of hoarding. Everyone was already on the pitch. Yeah. Like that was going to stop it. Like the video game Lemmings. If we just put a blocker lemming here, it'll be fine.
Well, unless it was just the windmill, like Lauren Hardy, and knock them all over.
The fans have already bolted.
Mm. Yeah.
Speaking of Millwall, which is obviously part of the, was it what they call it on Sky? The FL72 or whatever it is.
Yeah.
You didn't talk about Jim White's helicopter shenanigans last
Should
week.
Should we?
I know we didn't talk about that.
Okay.
What was he doing? I only saw like a picture of him in a three-piece suit in a helicopter
just being
going,
Jim
yeah.
White, which Sky think is enough to be news.
Yeah.
He is the acceptable face of some broadcasters.
A night out with Jim White, you know what it'd be, don't you? He'd be really keen. He'd be like, right, on Tuesday, he'd be like, Friday, we're going out. I'll come and pick you up at 7:30. He'd turn up at like 7:15 early.
Yeah.
Dressed up really nice.
You know he was there because he'd be beeping the horn.
Yeah, come on. Yeah. Come on. He'd get the cab driver to beep the horn. Then, first of all, he'd take you to his local pub where he would know everyone.
Yeah.
And
he'd
make a real show of knowing everyone.
Mm. All the while, he'd be ringing people in other pubs.
Come on. Yeah.
We're live with Danny down in the pub elsewhere.
He'd buy everyone a drink, make a real show of it. Then he'd take you to like a sort of provincial bar, but like a bit more of an upmarket bar for about an hour.
Okay.
Then 10:30, lappies.
Wow.
10:30, the chicken dippers.
Hang on. Yeah. Did you say 10 o'clock he'd be in the strippings?
Yeah.
Bit of food.
Of course he was. Jim White, isn't it?
I walked past it.
And they know him by name. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah,
on the way to work, and there's a menu outside.
Menu.
Who eats in a strip club? Who wants to eat in a strip club?
Investigate, mate.
Next week, I'm sure we'll find out what the food's like.
Theory, mate.
But anyway, speaking of the old...
Can we go back to Villa and Bournemouth?
Rudy Gusted. It was a good header. And I think that...
He's a weapon.
He is a bit. And I couldn't really decide whether he was going to be a hit in the Premier League or not. And I sort of still can't.
To you.
But the one... Yeah, well, it is for my opinions. And I think that a lot of teams do struggle against powerful... forwards who can head the ball well, and he can do that.
Yeah.
But and he obviously did that very well against Bournemouth, but I don't know if he's going to be an instant hit like everyone says he is, just because he scored one goal.
It's a big step up, and obviously Bournemouth are a team from the level he's just come up from, which is maybe a little too unscientific, but you know, one header does not make a season, does it?
In the last two seasons, he scored more headed goals than anyone else in England's top four leagues.
Saw that. So people are almost forgetting that he can also use his feet.
No,
it's like he's this heading specialist.
But that's an awful lot of headed goals, Jim.
Indeed.
I mean, I don't think people are forgetting, but clearly that's an enormous part of his game.
Right, I'm forgetting.
Yes. And sure, we've got his players to put a lot of balls into Benteke and a lot of crosses. You'd expect more of the same with Gisdin. Yeah. And, you know, it's... You can come up with all the tactics, formations and all the rest of it. If you put a high ball into the box and there's a very tall, powerful man there, it's as basic as that.
Yeah.
It's hard to defend against when you time... Because he timed that run so well.
Yeah.
And he's got the momentum and he's just going to sort of sledgehammer through.
It's an English goal.
It was an English goal.
Big Timmy loves an English goal.
That's why Tim Sherwood took particular pride in it, I think, yeah.
We could have
a situation in the summer. We'll get the Euros out of the way. We'll go out in the group stage of the Euros. Mm-hmm. And we'll have Pards, Monkey... Sherwood all gunning for the Big Sam all gunning for
I
the
I don't
England
think
job.
Monk would go for it yet himself. I think he's too smart for that.
But Sherwood though probably be out of a job though, will he not?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Well, he's unlikely then to pick up the England job.
Doesn't Sherwood really and Harry dream team?
Oh,
it doesn't really can't apply for it.
Well,
do you think Harry will pipe up? Do you think his knees will be better the next time the England job
comes up?
He's finished.
That ship sailed.
He's resorted to just chipping off on some couple of TV shows and getting someone else to do a Twitter for him. That's basically what he's doing.
Everton and Watford was a good game.
It was.
Kone saved Everton's blushes.
Well, Everton have got so many injuries again. I think they've got the most injuries of any Premier League team at the moment. And they struggled all last season with injuries as well.
Mm. Yeah. Watford, they were unlucky. What a start. I mean, it's still a decent start, a point away to Everton. Igalo, lovely goal. Took the mick out of... Was it Stones he roasted?
It was. Yeah, I don't know if roasted is fair.
Okay.
Lightly... parboiled.
Indeed, yes. Yeah. But it was Stones who maybe went in a bit too quickly for that. But it was still a great finish. And it's exciting to see them sort of take it to Everton like that. Mm. Looking forward to seeing Watford, actually. Yeah. All three of the promoted teams seem to have stuck to their game.
What a goal from Barkley, Peter.
Yeah.
It was. It was a doozy.
You'd call it a fizzer, wouldn't you?
Well, he smashed it.
Yeah.
He bloody smashed it.
Shame, though, talking about the injuries with Everton, Baines being injured.
Yeah, they've got a lot. And they've got eight. I think I've read they've got eight first team players out. I think.
Mm. Well, Martinez said that he believes that they need three more signings this year to be competitive.
Well, they keep getting injured. They need more than them.
There's a man who loves pre-season.
Yeah.
You know?
It's funny, isn't it, with Martinez, because he was like the golden goose for a while, and now last season they're really indifferent. But Everton do have a season every so often when they go a bit indifferent.
Mm. When you've got that many injuries as well, it takes a toll.
They kept getting them at key times last season. Well, yeah. They get one back and another one would go. It would be difficult for them.
Mm. And they don't have a squad to speak of, really, do they?
Well, they lose Stones as well to Chelsea, which I think is a strange move.
Chelsea have just signed, although he's a left-back, the Ghanaian. Yeah,
from Augsburg?
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw that.
I don't know why any young player would go to Manchester City or Chelsea or any of the... Big teams.
You've got an agent in your ear and you've got to back yourself. That'll be why, won't
it? Do you know where anyone at all would go to Newcastle?
Say again?
Do you know where anyone at all would go to Newcastle?
Mitrovic said he was a fan.
Nightlife.
Did he?
Back in the day.
Nightlife.
Actually, to be fair, they were the entertainers back in the day, so people coming through now may have fallen in love with Newcastle. Exactly. Right then. That's fair, actually.
Yeah. One side not struggling for consistencies, Crystal Palace. Lovely win for Pards. Mm.
It's good to see Kabaye get one.
Crystal Alice.
Yeah. Kabaye in a Palace shirt. It's just... Ugh.
It's 11, nice, isn't it? 11 wins in 19 Premier League games for Pardew equals the most amount of wins by a Palace boss in the Premier League.
Already.
Taking care of business.
Yeah.
Just to hate looking at his... He's as unwelcome as a fart. I just don't like looking at his smug mouth.
It's just business. They were brilliant, Palace. I mean, they didn't have the ball much early on. Norwich, actually...
Don't even need it, mate.
No. We don't even need the ball and
we're
going
to win. Was it Redmond who scored Norwich's goal? That was a nice
one. Yeah, it was a great goal. Really cheeky. Goalkeeper was not ready for that.
Mm. But Norwich were unlucky because of the disallowed goal.
That was absurd.
That was a terrible decision.
It was a lovely
Cameron Jerome normally gets one spectacular Premier League goal a season. I'm worried he's been denied it.
Absolutely. What's that going to do to his psyche?
Is it when he scored for Birmingham against Liverpool from Anfield, from absolutely miles out?
He's
done nothing all season.
I think
smash running off the crossbar from about 35 yards out.
It's the best league in the world, and that's why.
Yeah, my brain
does referee decisions.
My brain couldn't even compute it.
Do you remember Richard Dunn doing that one? I think from a free kick as well. Richard Dunn playing for Man City under Kevin Keegan, for some reason taking a free kick
under Kevin Keegan.
Yeah, there you go. There's your answer. Scored an absolute screamer that was just immediately disallowed. Richard Dunn's looking over at Keegan, going, "I don't know how, but this is your fault." Yeah. I'm of your Keegan has rubbed off on me there.
Was the free kick about 40 yards out and everyone else was in the box, including the keeper, so Richard Dunn was the only one who was back to take it? Because that's a Keegan side.
Yeah, maybe.
And then Keegan had to go at him for staying back.
and then just took the blame himself, like he would do.
I don't think I'm up to it. Cameron Jerome, that was a strange decision, that. I mean, God, the guy's played the ball. He's not even that close to the man's head.
Oh, no. God, but the look on the linesman's face, it was so Jobs-worthy.
You can see why he's given
that. You shouldn't be ruling out overhead kicks. I mean, we might as well just pack up and go home if you're going to do that. You're playing football. You know there's a bit of a risk involved. John Terry put his head right down low on Alex Song that time.
Yeah.
You know there's a risk involved. We don't like to see head injuries, but if someone's doing an overhead kick, I mean, it's an amazing part of the game. You've got to let them do it.
Mm. Chris Sutton said... Go on, Jim.
No, go on, carry on.
Chris Sutton said, the disallowed goal is the worst decision you will see all season. On the opening day.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly going to be competing, isn't it? But the thing is, like, that rule has to be very, very carefully applied, you know, a high foot, because essentially the goal has been disallowed because of something that might have happened, which in fact did not happen.
Yeah.
It's absurd.
Yeah. Was it David Batty in World Cup 98? He did a great bicycle kick and just kicked a man in the face.
Yeah, I remember that.
Tunisia was that.
I remember Batty doing it. Yeah. I don't remember what tournament it was. But
I remember a man dropping a pint. He was that surprised. He went,
based on that Chris Sutton quote, Michael Owen did a great one about 2 minutes into the start of the season. Michael Owen said, most of the teams have all strengthened.
That's why you pay the big bucks, aren't you?
I don't know what that means.
He's kind of right, isn't he?
Yeah, sort of. Yeah, it's hard to disprove it.
Yeah, you can't deny it, can you?
His moustache is an interesting choice as well, isn't it?
He's got
a Lemmy style moustache at the moment.
Has he? Really? Maybe he's getting ready for Movember.
Yeah.
Which he emphatically took part in last year. But yeah, Alex Neil's got his work cut out for him at Norwich. The positive at Norwich, though, is they kept the ball pretty well at times. I know losing 3-1 at home.
And also, Palace are going to be there or thereabouts. It's a tough old opener, that.
Oh,
and away win's easy for Palace.
It's a tough old opener. Isn't it? Don't come much tougher, does it, Pete? Inviting those glorious eagles to your own patch.
Pardew, sexy boys.
Yeah. Do you know what, though? Going forward, Palace have got options, haven't they?
Yeah,
they do.
Some good wingers, Zaha, Punchin.
They made the point on Match of the Day, the players they had on the bench.
Yeah,
it's just astounding.
But you know, people will want to play for a manager like that.
He'll get his.
He'll get his. That's it. That is absolutely it. Manchester United, they were slow out of the traps, but it was enough. A Kyle Walker own goal.
Yeah, that was Dalesville, USA.
Indeed it was. I mean, the Spurs looked quite lively early on. Ericsson had a chance, did he not?
He did.
Did he not?
Can't deny it.
But
Romero, to be fair, Romero did well.
He did do well.
Came in a difficult situation.
Very difficult situation.
Spurs have not been spoken about much in this pre-season generally. They've been fairly quiet, but I think given, you know, the amount of upheaval they've had in the past few seasons in particular and in general, that's probably a very good thing for them. They need to get a striker as cover for Kane.
Well, it was a great opening weekend because Spurs were peak Spurs and Arsenal were peak Arsenal.
Oh, Jesus, yeah.
North London was peak North London this weekend.
Yeah, indeed. Surprised to see it's still there.
No, but Spurs will take much more heart out of that.
They've
got an away trip to Old Trafford out the way.
Yeah, they got beat.
Yeah.
No, well, of course they did get beat. They weren't terrible.
In a needless comparison.
Manchester United never created many chances.
Yeah, but they did peak Spurs. They played some nice stuff and still got beat.
You're being harsh there.
No,
on old Spurs.
What I started to say was, I think, you know, they're... they could do well this season because they've got a bit of stability, and that's usually their problem, isn't it? It takes them ages to work out what their best team is because there's always new people coming in. But they don't really have that now, so it'd be interesting to see.
But it's a paradox, I think you're right, and that could be a positive, but they still, to me, look a few players short.
Yeah,
and then
indeed,
bring a few players in, and they're not stable.
But the thing is, I mean, it's only a few players, though, isn't it? Whereas it's not like eight coming in.
They'll probably fire the manager in January.
I think Adebayor and Soldado have been so far away from the team for a while anyway, that them leaving and someone else coming in to replace them doesn't really disrupt the team. So, be interesting.
Time to get Defoe back, I'd say.
He's something up top.
But let's talk about Arsenal then, Jim. Or West Ham. We can talk about West Ham if you'd prefer.
No, that's like... I think we've got
to talk about West Ham.
We should be talking about West Ham.
Yeah, they're excellent. They were.
The thing is...
Did a number on us. Slaven Bilic has never managed a game in the Premier League, yet knows how to do a number on Arsenal Emirates.
Yeah.
They nearly got a joy against Arsenal.
Am I right in saying that Peter Cech's already lost more home games at Arsenal than he did in his entire Chelsea career in the league?
That can't be right.
I don't think Peter Cech lost a home game in the league at Chelsea under Mourinho, and now he's lost one.
Oh, under Mourinho, they must have lost a home game.
Oh, yeah. Right, but I just mean, I think he had something like 116 games at home. Under Mourinho, didn't lose one.
So, in answer to your question, we're not sure.
I will say, it's got the makings of a good fact, that one. just need to dot a few I's and cross a few T's. Yeah.
After those three trophy wins in succession,
we should probably give those back now.
But I think it was the fact that it was two goals that Czech should have done a bit better.
But also, Czech wasn't the only one at fault for the second goal in particular. I mean, the line was too high for the first goal. The defending was very, very poor.
Wenger
said like he could see from his position that, you know, this is going to be a problem if he gets the ball and they're not organised well enough.
Well, the first goal
just could do nothing about it.
Kvyat obviously thought it saw the same thing because he charged in there with the man.
He just had a gamble.
He knew what was going to happen.
The second goal, they just all stopped.
Yeah, well, it's very, very strange. The second goal, Oxlade-Chamberlain obviously lost the ball in a bad position, which, you know, he's got a quite frustrating habit of doing. And also, Koscielny and Mertesacker each seem to be looking to the other to do something. And they just stopped and let him shoot. And Czech's positioning was terrible. He took a step to the left when he shouldn't have done. Mm. And it's just very, very frustrating.
What about
Reece? There's like three or four individual mistakes
in that. Let's talk about West Ham, though. Reece Oxford?
He's essentially a fetus.
He was good, but I think on Match of the Day, there was a perfect example of how much the English media like to hype up young English players there, and they're even talking about not doing that. And Reece Oxford, he had a very good debut, he's very assured, looks a very level-headed young man, it's great. But Danny Murphy, who I like as a pundit, said at one point, look at this, Oxford, he takes the ball really, really well there, he looks really confident with it, and that was just a ball being passed into feet. And the next thing he did was he gave the ball away. It's like, don't hype him for that. He's just giving the ball away.
Yeah, right.
If that's someone like with even like 10 games under their belt, you're not praising them for a nice touch and then giving the ball away. That's absolutely ridiculous.
He did have pass completion in the match with 95%, according to Sky Sports.
Yeah,
Peter.
But you know, come on.
I'll take your point, Joe.
It's numbers.
Arsenal have got a really funny relationship with opening days of the season because they won last year, beat Palace last year.
Well, we lost to Villa the season before last, and then went on a really good run, which we absolutely have to do again. That's not
we're
representative
going away
of
from
Arsenal.
West Ham, people.
Okay, I was just going to say, but the two seasons before that, I drew 0-0 to Sunderland and Newcastle. They do tend to have a funny one on the opening day a lot of the time.
I'd like to remind you all of what you said about Arsenal last week. Now, I know it's only the opening day. Pete said Arsenal were looking good, could challenge Chelsea. Yeah. Jim, you seem to think that Arsenal had solved a troubled position. And Luke, you were worried about Slaven Bilic.
Well, still am worried about West Ham.
I said it's only a game. I'm just saying.
Bilic
organised his side very, very well. They wonderful game plan. Check bug it up, and
this is the exception that proves the rule.
On a bad Arsenal day, when Arsenal aren't at the races, all you've essentially got to do is ask them a question, and they can't answer it. Yeah, they can't answer it.
Mm.
So it's not a huge surprise. Like, I've just told you that Arsenal have got an indifferent record on the opening day of the season.
I don't think our relegation form will continue.
But people were massively overhyping the Community Shield win anyway. It shows that they can challenge. It doesn't really show anything. No.
There was a lot of optimism before the game though, and it was particularly frustrating. But I think West Ham looking good shape actually. I'm still
worried for them
at all.
And I still think Arsenal will probably
be the second best team in the league. Temperament that you're worried about?
Because they've not got
a bad squad.
With someone like Bilic, I don't really understand why he's such a West Ham legend anyway. He wasn't there for very long. He must have been there for about a season and a half, maximum. Secondly...
Well, Les Ferdinand was only at Newcastle for 2 years.
Talk about him if you want.
You were basing that on he wasn't there for very long.
He wasn't.
But what I'm saying is that, you know, Klinsmann wasn't at Spurs for very long either.
But he's not Spurs' manager, is he?
No, but if he came back...
That's a different point. He's not been appointed just because West Ham legend.
To answer the question you originally put to me,
which is what I was going to do,
please.
Which is the way you'll judge someone like Slaven Bilic, the character he is, will be when they start losing a few games. When they start losing a few games, the type of character he is in the dressing room and stuff like that, you then will know whether he can manage the Premier League properly.
Mm.
Okay, it's all very nice. He essentially chucked the Europa League with a couple of youth team squads and stuff like that. Mm. Which I sort of, to be honest, we've talked about this before. I kind of sort of understand that they've gone to Arsenal. They've had a lovely time. They've got a great result. And they should be credited for that. He should be credited for the bravery of picking a player like Reece Oxford in that side at the Emirates as well, who played with no fear and he was absolutely fantastic. But West Ham fans, who all of whom have been tweeting me, saying, oh yeah, well, I thought you said West Ham are going to be rubbish this season. First of all, I didn't say that. Mm. I said I feared for them. Secondly, it's a 38-game season. Mm. And thirdly, let's just see how they get on, because Bilic's record isn't amazing. It's not an amazing record. Mm. And when they start losing a few, which they will, because the Premier League is competitive, then we'll see what he's made of.
And fourthly, I think they're about to sign Joey Barton. So.
They are. Really? They are. I think that might be done. Yeah, I think he might have passed the medical.
Well,
and the naysayers are trying to prove that he's a brilliant player because he created a lot more chances than pretty much anyone else in the Premier League last season.
I don't know why people have got a problem with signing, but if you've got a manager who can handle him, he's a hard-working player and he's got a lot of experience in the Premier League.
He's not going to cost you anything. He's on his fee.
He must have played hundreds of games in the Premier League. So, I mean, he gives you a bit of competitiveness. Well, I think
he's hardly Stephen Ireland, is he? He's like, you know, he's a grafter.
I think
a West Ham legend like Bilic will handle him perfectly.
We shall see.
What about Newcastle, Pete? Not bad.
They didn't win. That was the best bit of football I've seen Newcastle play in a long time.
A very long time.
Can we talk about the Chancellor?
The
Chancellor.
Who?
The fella who turned up in the tux.
Mbemba.
Yeah.
His name's Chancellor, isn't it?
Chancellor Mbemba, yeah.
I saw a lot of people calling him the Chancellor on Twitter, so I thought I'd get involved.
There you go.
Yeah.
They're very good.
Get involved and steal other people's jokes.
Yeah. Mm. I thought it was a done thing for Newcastle fans. I mean, a lot of the fans who actually go to the games.
Actually live in the area. Well, I didn't just leave.
I'm just tapped into the local culture, mate.
I enjoyed Mitrovic getting a yellow card within, I think, 5 seconds or something of coming on.
Yeah, that was astounding.
I said he was a Raji bastard.
The way he did it was like, this Premier League's brilliant!
Before the game.
Was that good?
Yeah. Before the game, McLaren had said that he's got a bit of a demon in him, hasn't he? That he's got to watch. Maybe Mitrovic just didn't understand that. He's like, yes, I will show you my demon! McLaren basically said after the game, yeah, he was lucky not to get sent off there. We got away with that one.
Which is a nice bit of honesty.
Did McLaren also slightly blame the fans for them conceding an equaliser? He said something about how this crowd are like, they really want you to push on for a goal.
Mm. Which is true, by the way.
Yeah, but that's a fair point, though, if you're saying that. Would you agree with that, Petey?
No, I was just thinking you've got to play your own game. Are you the manager or are you the ringmaster?
Yeah. Are you going to sign Philippe Albert or not?
Are you going to let the Lions do their thing or are you going to tell them what to do?
Get your top hat on.
Yeah. Exactly. Philippe Albert's birthday today.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Whose birthday is it?
Philippe Albert.
Is it? I didn't know that.
You should have said we'd have opened the Dean Windhouse Hall of Fame.
Just for his birthday. Oh.
Get him in there.
Can't find the key.
How are you pronouncing Wijnaldum?
Wijnaldum, yeah.
Wijnaldum.
Beautiful.
Wijnaldum, I think the commentator was saying. What a goal that was. Mm.
A leapy header.
Great cross as well.
Liquid cross from Overton as well.
An absolute gamble of a signing that has so far paid off.
People giving you pelters on Twitter about that, Luke.
Well, when Newcastle... Listen, they are, yes, and that's fine. But I think everyone around this table can hopefully concede that when Newcastle pay $14.5 million for an attacking midfielder who's not played in the Premier League before, it possibly could have a slightest chance of going awry. That's all I'm saying.
I think other clubs have done it a lot worse, but if you are going to tweet...
very clearly a good signing of a Dutch international who's already scored.
If you are going to tweet, Luke, remember the hashtag travel.
Did I tell you that someone trawled through 3 years in my Instagram post this week to put hashtag travel on the very first one? In a way, you've got to respect
great,
it.
Yeah,
you
do. Fair, isn't it? Oh, a little mention before talking about Manchester United. Schweinsteiger being the first ever German to play for Manchester
United. Yeah, it's a funny one, that, isn't it?
Yeah, there we are. But McLaren, they didn't win. But it was good. They actually played some proper football, and Southampton weren't too bad either. And before we move on to Premier League, a game which we weren't really going to mention because nothing happened until the 85th minute.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Smash. Liverpool, eh? Scoring the same amount of goals at Stoke that they did last season.
I think Liverpool deserve a lot of credit for that. And I'll tell you why. One, because they clearly had some demons to exorcise from that game. Yeah. And it was essentially their last Premier League game. So it's a great effort from them. I was really impressed with Lovren and the new signing who played fullback up against John Walters, who's a seasoned operator in the Premier League, and he was very physical. What's his name? Gomez. Very physical.
Very young.
Yeah, he is, but he didn't shy away from it. And the other thing I want to say, I know you guys just think I'm going to be in cantankerous here, but I promise you I'm not. And I'm just asking the question. Do you think that Jack Butler could have done better with that goal?
He got a hand to it. It went too far. Yeah, yeah. The hand went past the ball.
Yeah, it was a great goal. But
somebody else
did
say that. Maybe one of the commentators.
Right. Okay, good.
Somebody else did.
I didn't know. I was just being churlish, but I thought a great, a keeper at the very top of his game, like a David De Gea. I think he saves that. I'm not taking anything away from Coutinho.
Coutinho Tamagotchi is getting a lot of love regardless of that thumb.
That sort of touch and turn that Coutinho does where he drops a shoulder and he's away is amazing. It's blink of an eye stuff.
It's great when you have a player that's so good at scoring those long ranges sort of out of nowhere. It just adds that kind of, you know, that unknown quantity for defenders, doesn't it? You know that he can do that, so he's got an extra thing to worry about, basically.
He's a great player. Speaking of ex-Inter attacking midfield players, I mean, can you believe...
At the Britannia on Sunday.
Can you believe that Stoke have now... I mean, if I said to you 3 years ago, Stoke are going to have Bojan, Afellay and Shaqiri in their team.
Yeah.
But think 3 years before Manchester City got all that money.
Yeah, I know, it just shows the financial power of the Premier League.
True. Although that was a far more a bigger situation than Stoke. But you're right.
Shaqiri's been very... It sounds like he didn't want to go to Stoke, and they've had to really give him the hard sell.
He doesn't seem to enjoy himself at Inter. He's not playing, though.
No, he's just not enjoying himself.
He's only 23, though.
And who better to squeeze the joy out of him than Mark Hughes?
Well, the thing is, with Shaqiri, it didn't really work for him at Bayern either. He was only a bit part player there, so he's still
trying to find his feet.
Absolutely. Yeah. And in a top league, which he's not really had that much
experience.
And where
better to find those feet than under Mark Hughes?
So the last time he's really flourished at the club level is at Basel, basically. But the thing about Shaqiri is he's still young enough, he's quick, and he's very, very strong for his size as
He'll
well.
Suit so, the Premier League.
Yeah, I think he probably will. Mm. I mean, and if he's motivated and Hughes can get the best out of him. Because you've got to remember, Hughes has got a bit of a shaky reputation as a manager, I think unfairly. But as a player, he's played at Manchester United, he's played at Barcelona, he's got a great reputation as a player. And I think that obviously stands him in good stead when he's managing other players. So if he can get the best out of Shaqiri, I reckon Stoke will be great to watch.
Shaqiri, Bojan and Afellay.
I'm not sure Shaqiri would know Mark Hughes from his playing.
But you could just show him a video. This is me scoring a hat-trick for Barcelona.
Amazing thing to do. Imagine Tim Sherwood doing that.
No, show him the volley he scored in Man City training.
Yeah.
That's enough.
Yeah. Just give him the ball and just leather and half volley. Beautiful.
I think that Stoke have got a potential to play some really nice stuff this season, but they didn't do that on Sunday.
Nice.
Hi, I'm Dion Dublin, and when I'm not banging my tube, I'm listening to the Football Ramble.
Let's have a little bit of championship chat. That's back. Yes. Don't you forget it, everybody. The English Championship. Nobody calls it the English Championship. People call it the EPL. The EC. Outside of Europe.
The FL72.
Yeah, the EFL.
That's taken off.
Yes, indeed it has.
It's annoying, isn't it?
Derby haven't taken off just yet under Paul Clement.
But I've got good news for them.
Damn right
They're playing Portsmouth in the Capital One Cup in midweek. So that should give them a real good boost.
There we are.
Goodbye.
It'll be interesting to see what Clement does in his Derby time since taking over from Steve McLaren. He's only been there 6 weeks or so, but what can they do under him? Because obviously it's been very exciting to see him and his rise.
Well, he's a coach.
From PE teacher or something.
Yeah,
like that?
He's a coach with such a good reputation that people were essentially linking him with every sort of mid-level English job for ages. And there was a lot of buzz around him taking a job, and now he's finally taking one at a genuinely big club. There'll be a bit of pressure there, which is, I'm sure, is what he likes. He's used to working at big clubs.
Well, he's worked at Real Madrid, hasn't he? And even if you're not the main man there, there is pressure everywhere all the time in that club. So he should be used to that.
Should be bloody used to it, Paul. What about MK Don's great win in their first ever match in the Championship? 4-1 away to Rotherham.
That was quite a scrappy one as well. Lots of mistakes in there.
Yeah, Rotherham only just survived last season. Mm.
I've got no comment to make on this.
What about your old mate Steve Cottrell?
Fucking idiot. Steve Cottrell, you don't want to be bringing up Steve Cottrell on the day...
On your watch.
On the weekend that Matt Ritchie was starting in the Premier League for Bournemouth and Steve Cottrell released him from Portsmouth because he said he was never going to make it.
Sour grapes, Petey, isn't it?
Mm. I think Luke could do better.
Yeah, I really can't. You know,
but he's
I can't.
From Portsmouth, that's why he supports them. So good win for Sheffield Wednesday over Bristol City back in dem big leagues. Now we didn't mention this from League One last week, which we should have done. I don't think there was any League One action on the weekend, but Joe the Goal Gormley from Northern Ireland. We mentioned him a number of times. A lot of people tweeted us about this. We were going to mention it, and we've got to mention it last week. He's now played for Peterborough in League One. He's got a big move there, Donaldson.
Joe the Goal begins.
I'd like to think we played our part in that.
How much of a part did we play?
Did anybody get 12% of that transfer fee? Because I certainly didn't.
It's in our shared PayPal account.
They lost their opening game.
Did they indeed?
They did, yeah, Peterborough. But I think Joe the Goal has got goals in him. Otherwise, he would never have been given that name.
Goals in his name, mate. Yeah,
there are. Well, he's just got the one goal in his name. But hopefully he can get more.
They got beaten off. They got beaten by Rochdale fairly handily, I remember.
2-0.
Yeah.
2-0.
That's a bit annoying because if you're a fan of Peterborough and you've signed a player called Joe the Goal and he's literally not scored. I mean, presumably he played, I didn't check.
He did play, yeah.
You'd be a bit annoyed about that.
Mm. Oh, I think
you'd probably
excited.
Give him a little bit more time, though, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Not in today's game, Jim. Not in modern football.
Not in League One.
He's had his chance. Get him back to the League of Ireland.
Oh, let's go to the League of Scotland.
It should be called that.
The Scottish Premiership. I tell you what, they're on the march. The Magnificence. They were top of the league for a short while. Did you see that? I mean,
I saw that on Twitter. I think you may even have retweeted it. In fact,
literally.
No, I took a screenshot. Yeah, and tweeted that.
Did you hear the stuff that John Collins was saying?
I don't need to.
He said that everyone's gone way over the top of this. I'm not sure if you guys saw it. John Collins was talking about, I think, in reference to Celtic playing in Europe.
Yeah.
And he was saying that the Scottish teams they play against aren't. I mean, I can't remember the exact phrase, but it was effectively saying that they aren't good enough.
And last season,
everyone's gone mad.
Of course, they've gone mad.
Everyone's gone mad.
Look, listen,
they'll
to this.
Go mad, and they'll have every right to go mad.
Yeah, I mean, you've got to look at this. Hearts are back there in the big time, in the best league in Britain, and they I got away with that one. They're away to the league leaders, Dundee.
Oh my god.
Go 1-0 down, Jim. And then they win 2-1. Don't start giving it all this. And Aberdeen are up there as well. They're also on 6 points.
The Dandies.
Damn right.
Get them up there.
Absolutely.
I mean, I'll tell you, big Derek McInnes was kicking off of Collins. I think he was the one who was taking the most issue with
damn
it.
Damn right. McInnes is not having that.
No.
He's
a proud man.
He's a very proud man.
Almost as proud as the Granite City itself.
They're all proud men up there.
It's not quite the end of the world, Aberdeen, you can see it from there.
Yeah, very good. Mark Warburton's a proud man. Not only is he having an impact with Rangers, he's also having an impact in bread sales.
He should be dishing up a sweet sponsorship deal. he seems to be missing a trick there.
In Glasgow, sales of Warburton's bread have risen 11.7% since he took over as Rangers manager.
I love that someone has to track the percentage of bread.
Yep. Well, a spokeswoman from
Joe that's done that.
It could be a spokeswoman from Warburton's. Other breads are available. Said we put this down to great taste rather than the influence of Mark Warburton. But who knows? Mm. Well, you're trying to know.
Yeah, that seems
naive.
Just really trying to think of a bread based pun, but I've got nothing.
Surely you've got something.
I've got nothing. No.
All right.
Sorry, everyone.
Deary me.
Peter, you must have something.
That's shocking, that is. You've got to earn your crust, is what I'm saying.
Brioche gun, brand gun.
Wow.
It's not linked, though, is it?
Brioche gun. That certainly gave me a wry smile.
Wow.
Deary me. Yeah. And I tell you what, you thought that the Highland League was just a one-off, could become a feature.
Is it fair to say we're spreading ourselves thin here?
After last week's 11-0 win, Brora Rangers, they were at the races again, beating Bucky Sithole 8-1.
Wow.
That is incredible.
Wow. 19 goals in 2 games.
Jimbo.
Yeah.
PT.
Football.
There we are. Yeah,
bread.
Brioche.
Do you think they'd give the Magnificence a run for their money?
Not at the moment, no. But give them a few years. They might be up in the big leagues. Yeah. You know,
probably what spurred them on.
Let's not overhype this.
Nice to have Brora Rangers and maybe Glasgow Rangers back in there. And then Hearts. And I tell you what, Celtic, they might not even qualify for Europe if that equation happens.
I don't think they're worried about that.
Not at the moment. Right, we've got a few odds and sods here before we get the highlights. League. Marseille, they lost 1-0. And Beals has resigned.
Yeah.
I love this. Could I please be the one to read the quote?
Oh, it's astounding.
He resigned after losing on the opening day of the season and said, "I have just resigned from my job as my Olympic Marseille coach. I have completed my work here." Well, after a defeat on the opening day of the season.
Well, it seems like you've created lots of work for someone else.
Sorry, Marcelo, are you quitting in the summer? No, I've got one more thing left to do.
Is that win us the league? He's going to win us the league.
A run-of-the-mill home defeat to an average team. Right, now I'm finished.
I think it was at home.
Give me my cool box.
And that's Bielsa. Yeah. I think he was also going on about the instability at the club and all this. And the chairman or somebody came out and was just like, "What? How? He's calling us?
Yeah.
Not stable. No. Cheeky bugger."
He was also linked to the Mexico national job, wasn't he?
And
when he was asked about it, he said, "It is only a hypothesis, and I never discuss a hypothesis."
And as he shouldn't.
No. Why would
That's
you?
That's what they're there for, really, isn't it? Mm.
You'd have thought so. Quickly to Italy. The Italian Super Cup happened. Juve beat Lazio 2-0. Ravel Morrison came on as a sub with 3 minutes to go. I thought he'd return to England.
I thought he'd stuck in... stuck his P45. Can you stick your own P45 in? He basically said he wanted to leave.
I guess you can request it. I don't know what the Italian paperwork equivalent is, though.
They don't have it. Could you
break into the office, print it out, and then just give it to them to give to you?
Capo de Cagno at Swindon type situation.
Yeah. Stand outside your house and post it through your letterbox.
What are you doing in there, pal? I'm just doing your paperwork.
I think that's probably it.
Yeah, but apparently in pre-season he's been impressing, according to results.
I don't believe reports. That.
Well, he's been hailed as the new Gazza.
I don't believe that either.
Have you not? No. There's some clips.
I don't care. Ramel Morrisford is not going to become a Lazio legend. They still put Banana for Gascoigne now at Lazio.
Yeah, true. But you can believe he impressed in pre-season, although it doesn't matter for anything, of course. My own words, fine. No. But the point is, we thought that Morrison had gone there and no sooner was he was coming back. And we worried it would be great to see him.
Listen, I think he deserves a lot of credit for going there. I think he's a fantastic player on his day, and he's obviously got a lot of problems off the field, and that's his business, no one else's. But I'm just saying, as someone who likes football and has watched it for ages, I don't think there's much chance of Ramel Morrison doing that well there. I'd love to see him prove me wrong, but I don't see it happening.
Yep. Listen, Morrison's is where you can buy bread.
Exactly.
So, ergo, fin the pod.
Yeah. What he's trying to say is Ramel Morrison is now officially linked with Glasgow Rangers.
Yeah. All right, okay. Yeah. And in other news in Italy, Antonio Cassano has returned to football with Sampdoria after 6 months out. That can end well.
Yeah. Great news for all of us.
He terminated his contract with Parma before they dropped down to Serie D due to serious financial troubles. Of course, that's Parma, not Cassano. I'm sure he has his moments. He's back. I mean,
I'm sure he's no stranger to a
Cassano. 6 months out, coming back into professional football at one of the best leagues in Europe. He won't be playing before Christmas.
There will be slow, trudgy fireworks.
I am the last person to talk about being overweight, but I think Cassano may be overweight.
Okay. And now it's time for the highlights of the week with Luke Moore.
Hi, everyone.
All right.
Hello, Luke.
Hello, guys. I've got some highlights of the week here. I will bash through them very quickly, as is the custom these days. Ben Legris says on Twitter, "My highlight of the week was seeing Wales manager Chris Coleman help change his baby's nappy in my local park."
That's lovely.
Oh. Lovely.
Hashtag wet wipes.
Wales are up to ninth, I believe, in the rankings.
Are they really?
Yeah.
Okay. Alex Roberts.
And he still has to change his own diapers.
Yeah. Unlucky in both of them.
Yeah, that's another story.
Yeah.
Alex Roberts on Twitter says, "My highlight is Big John managing the keeper's shorts up, even with Cesc and Matic in both pockets."
Yes. I'll tell you.
Now, this is a very, very important lesson to listeners, as how to get yourself on the Ramble Highlights of the Week. Grant Alpo says, "My highlight of the week was having the Ramble back." I had an absolutely terrible day on Tuesday or Wednesday, and I honestly can't tell you the joy it brought me when I saw the Ramble was on my phone when I got in my car to come home Wednesday night.
We love you, Grantsy.
More of that.
Bye.
Tom Whitaker says, "Peter Cech, who will apparently win 10 to 15 points on his own for Arsenal, now needs to get a few more to hit his target." That's true.
So one game gone, though, isn't it?
Dig at you, Jim, innit? Liam Hawke says, "Jose Mourinho activating agent Cech in timely fashion to start an early doors mind."
Liam Hawke should be a manager.
The same one again, isn't it?
Liam Hawke should.
Is this going to continue?
Hawke should be a manager because he could definitely swoop for players.
Yeah, like that.
Thank you.
Probably wouldn't be in charge of the transfer, just be coaching.
Yeah.
Modern probably football. By a committee, modern football,
get
mate.
On with it.
Director of football. Andrew, who is at Andrew Pizzo, I think is a regular contributor to Highlights of the Week, says, "Chancel Mbemba, the Chancellor, rocking up to St James's Park in a tux.
Yeah.
Easily my favourite Congolese defender who I've seen in a bow tie." I think we can all agree on that. That's it.
We're done. One of my highlights, River Plate winning their first Copa Libertadores in 19 years.
Well done to them.
They were relegated not that long ago.
They were.
Well done, the platelets. Yes. As I call them.
My highlight actually is that Uriah Rennie has surfaced as an ICE judge.
Yeah, I've heard people say this, but I don't know what this means.
He's the timekeeper on this terrible ITV daytime quiz. Inexplicably,
he's dreadful.
Where does the ICE come in?
Yeah, how do you judge ICE?
I'm not really that sure.
It's one
of those things where I feel the less I know about it, the more I'm going to like it.
Yeah.
I'm happy knowing he's just an ICE judge now.
A bit like the
knowing
Ramble.
What that is might ruin it.
It's a bit like the Ramble. Jim.
Neymar's got mumps, and mumps are just funny to look at, and Neymar quite often looks funny because of his insane hair.
Get well soon though.
I'll get well soon.
I disagree with that.
Please,
Jim,
post some pictures of your hilarious face.
Diego Costa in it. Ibiza with Benny Benassi.
Was he?
Oh, yeah.
He got given 2 days off and headed straight to Ibiza.
It's my hamstrings, boss.
I like to think that they phoned him up.
Rhythmic enough.
I like to think they phoned him up and it was a foreign dialing tone. They're like, You've got 2 days off, and he's thinking, oh, that's a bit of a result. Were you out there anyway? No, I knew you were going to give me them 2 days off. Yeah. We've only just decided. What about the New York Derby? New York Red Bulls beating New York City.
There was crowd trouble.
That's odd.
What's that about?
American football fans chanting, who are you in
apparently, apparently, Pirlo and Lampard were absolutely coasting again. I can believe that.
No, but Lampard did okay, apparently.
Did he? Okay.
Bradley Wright Phillips with both the goals.
Yeah.
Again. Loves it.
I think he's the top scoring forward
Wright Phillips
in Red Bull's history, I think. Whoa. And do you know who had the record before him? I think it might be Juan Pablo Angel.
Yeah, wow. Right, yeah, that would make sense.
They're quite a young franchise, though.
That's right.
Yeah.
Let's have a website roundup, though.
Yes, this is hot off the press from the always excellent Kelly Wells. She says, was it Luke's prediction about West Ham, Slaven Bilic threatening his team with a raw bowl performance if they lost, or maybe Kelly's gift predicting Arsenal's revenge on Roy Keane was responsible for Arsenal's horrible performance on Saturday? We don't know which one it was. Mm. Probably the Arsenal players.
It'd be one of them.
Yeah. She says, decide for yourself by visiting thefootballramble.com, where you'll also find hilarious footage of a small boy walking into a metal post while under the supervision of Robin van Persie.
That was horrible. It really cracks it.
There's a video of Pep Guardiola catching a few minutes of Sky Sports #92Live with Jim White and the Weekend Highlights, which she does every Monday. She's at Kelly_Wells.
Lovely old job.
Mm. Also, you listen to podcasts, so there's a reasonable chance you might also like audiobooks. Well, you are in for a treat because we have teamed up with audible.co.uk. Basically, what can happen is you can go to audible.co.uk/footballramble, sign up, and you can get yourself a free audiobook. There's all kinds of things. There's an incredible range there. And effectively, you can take that, you get it for free, then you can unsubscribe, and you don't have to, you have no obligation to Audible, but you keep your audiobook.
And we did this offer a number of years ago. And if you took advantage of that then, don't worry about it. You can take advantage again.
You can do it again.
You can do it again.
I'm going to get Limmy's book, Limmy's audio book.
That's a great
big fan of him.
That's a good idea.
I think I got the Alan Partridge one, which is obviously fantastic, and I got Tim Key as well.
Oh yeah,
very good. Yeah,
very good. And do remember that the Dublin live show is out and about
on PayPal
in the wild.
Go to thefootballramble.com for that, and if it will be released on iTunes as soon as possible, we'll keep you posted.
But you can still get the summer special.
Yeah,
just got timeless comedy. and that's it for us for this week. Get your tweets to @footballramble. The website is thefootballramble.com, and the email address is.
Show at the football ramble.
I did it in a wrong order.
Yeah.
I
got me words and that mixed up.
You can get us on facebook.com/footballramble2.
Absolutely. Say goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Petey.
Bye.
And it's goodbye from me.
Just a reminder that on Rock and Roll Football this weekend on Absolute Radio, we're going to be at West Ham with a live and exclusive commentary of their game against Leicester City.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces 3 thought-provoking questions over 3 glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly. Seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.